Hey guys, John Henry Spann here. Got a great episode for you coming up. If you enjoy it, please make sure to leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars, like us, subscribe us, share us with people. Thanks so much for listening.
Hello, this is producer Ben, and on this episode of Honest to God, we jump back into the world of dating. Terrifying, I know. So strap in as we hear from a few of our panelists with their own experiences to share, as well as some advice for anyone looking for a guiding light in the world of dating. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, super pumped to be here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Super pumped to be here. It's going to be a great day.
Super excited.
We don't just have Nini today. People might be excited because I think a whole hour with Nini, it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be great.
But we've only got a whole 27 and a half minutes with Nini, I'm afraid.
You know what? That's better than nothing. Better than zero.
Yeah. And I was confused because when I saw the notes for the show today, it says dating 101 in 2024. Hear how an engaged couple met on a dating app and hear others explore dating adventures in 2024. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say you are not an engaged couple.
There's no one here next to me, unfortunately. No. Not yet.
Your engagement break off immediately before the air and he drove off?
Yeah, we broke off the engagement and he just ran away in my Tesla.
You just totally went with that. That's not true. That's not what
not
happened.
True at all.
If you're watching or listening at home. No, but I'm excited. We're going to have a good day. We're going to talk to you for a little bit. And then we have a couple who's coming on that I think you might be able to see in the background.
They're hanging out next year by me. We can't wait to see them. We'll introduce them in about 27 minutes or so.
Yeah. 26 minutes and 23 seconds, actually.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Do you mind leading us in prayer?
Yeah.
Kick us off.
All right. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, man. Jesus, thank you for this moment. Thank you for allowing all of us to be here. And Mama Mary, I just pray to you because you are the greatest mother of all. And I pray that you're just here while we talk about dating and all of the pursuits as well, with St. Joseph being here as well. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. 91. That's what you got. That was the score for your prayer.
Thank you. Better than a zero.
No, it was better. Yeah. I don't know why I do that. I should probably stop giving everybody a grade on their prayer because who am I to do that? But you know it's become a thing.
I got an A. That's all I care about.
That was an A. Yeah. Solid A.
Solid A.
4.0.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Super good.
I totally interrupted, but I heard you live with interviewing the Cardinal and not to give any kind
of. Oh, yeah. Cardinal Burke.
And you didn't give him a grade. I was waiting. I was sitting there waiting. Where's the grade? Where's the grade?
But
you
did not. So messed up. But I wish we could loop that in with Honest to God. Yeah. What he's talking about, if you don't know, we just on the Quest. You can find us on the Quest app. Maybe we'll be able to air this with Honest to God, but we just got to interview Cardinal Burke, who is a personal hero of mine. I'm actually a big fan. I was telling some people that if you had told me you can pick one person on the planet to interview, he would have been a contender, top three for sure. I would much rather interview him.
Holy Spirit gave you a great gift.
Yeah, yeah, he was a great man. Yeah, really, really enjoyed it. So that was a lot of fun. A close second to Cardinal Burke.
I'll take it.
Is Nini.
I'll take it.
No. And we're going to talk about dating today, but you always fun fact first. So give us one fun fact.
I got bangs.
Hey.
I just got them last week. There was like a very impulse decision. I was at work. And I'm like, I need a change in my hair. And mm-hmm. She was like, is it time for bangs? I said, it's time. So I sat in the chair at work and she's like, are you ready? I'm like, nope, let's do it. And the moment she cut my bangs.
Wait, where do you work?
I work at a hair salon.
Oh, that makes way more sense in context.
Okay. There you go. So I'm a full-time manager for a hair salon. Right. And I also do recruiting for the salon as well. And so I was closing that day and she's like, are you ready? I'm like, nope. Not ready. And she did it. And then I straight up gasped when she cut my hair.
I had bangs at one point.
I can see it.
It's been a while.
Rocking it.
I'm thinking about now doing just bangs. Like leave the rest of it like this. But
there
then just have like a strip right here. Do you
and
think
grow your beard out too.
Could I work that?
Yeah. I think you can.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'll do that.
Great.
that's good. That's a good fun fact. My wife just got her hair done the other day too.
Does she look beautiful as ever?
Oh
she
gosh.
Always does.
Oh my gosh. She's so beautiful. Yeah, she's gorgeous. I'm a big fan.
I'm glad.
Yeah, I wish that she were here, actually. I'm kind of heartbroken because sometimes she comes up and hangs out in the studio with my kids while I do this, but not today.
Yeah.
So we'll get some beepage, got some AV issues. We good?
Yeah, we're good.
All golden. All right, Nini. So, and to all of our viewers, we've done a number of episodes on dating in some regard, right? We did a dating apps episode, got a lot of hate on that one, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think just maybe a standard amount, but it was good. I like, you need a little bit. If everybody's happy, what have you been doing? And then I think you were on what is now our second or third most popular ever I think our most popular full video, which is the Finding Mr. Right
episode. Love that episode.
And you said, when we were talking on the 100th episode thing, not too long ago, you said that you, every time some guy asks for your number, you send him that YouTube video.
So every single time a guy will ask me, like, I've been doing like the hard discussions lately, you know, sex, religion, politics, all the hard discussions that I just want to get out of the
way. You have been doing that. Oh, good.
I have been doing it. I haven't before in the past, but lately I've just been doing it because I'm older, you know, I'm not playing around anymore. I want to date for a marriage and everything. I'm trying to find my husband. And so instead of just dilly-dally, la-di-da, just getting straight to the point, I have been sending, like, you know, having those conversations. And when the guy, like, you know, asks me those hard questions, I go ahead and send that video. And it's just like, I've sent it twice probably. And the only time I've had one, like, positive outcome by sending it is the guy I'm talking to now, actually. And he was like, I love this video. I'm glad you sent it. I'm like, wow, that's the first time someone said thank you for sending that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been working pretty well. It's been going through all the weeds and everything.
Yeah, so if you want to be on Honest to God and just make your own one of these back and forths where we ask all the awkward questions here and then you can just send it, be sure to drop us drop us an email or something. Yeah. That's really cool. So what is it in particular? Because it's been, I mean, that episode was done well over a year ago.
It was so long ago. I think it was like, qualities that I found in a guy was really going to be like, it used to be Catholic or it used to be like Christian. But for me now, it really is more of like, you have to be Catholic if we're going to be pursuing each other. And if you're not Catholic, then you have to be either open to conversion or you have to be open to raising our kids Catholic. And that's just like my biggest deal breaker now, because my last relationship, he was not Catholic. And we had that hard discussion and I took him to mass with me for Christmas. And that was kind of like that teeter moment to where we ended up breaking up like a few weeks later.
So there's no way we're not about to dig into that, but I want to take one second. Can we do that? Are you comfortable digging into that?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
But first I want to talk about what you sort of opened with, because I think it's super, like, that has come up so many times on this show, right? Dating has a purpose. Every time you date somebody, there are two options, right? You break up or you get married. Yeah. Those are the only two options, right? Yep. And I have heard so many people who will talk about how uncomfortable it is to talk about the things that actually matter. I'm an advocate of, and I always like to tell people I'm not super qualified. The last time I had a new girlfriend, I was 19. She gave birth to my fifth child a couple months ago. So I've not been in the dating game recently, but I'm a huge advocate of, that's first date discussions. Don't waste my time.
Yeah.
I don't want to waste your time. Right. Yeah. So let's talk about the big things. And that's morality. That's, I mean, everything from sex stuff to kid stuff to religion, politics. Are we going to be compatible? Because if not, I mean, from a girl's perspective, thanks for the dinner.
Yeah.
I'll see you later.
Yeah.
All the best.
I literally went on a date with a guy and we had the conversation at the dinner table. I was like, this is where I stand on, for example, like physicality. Mm-hmm. Like I don't like it before a relationship. I want to save it. I want to get to know you on like an emotional level before like we even discuss more of physicality stuff.
Right.
And he was like, physical stuff is such a deal breaker for me before a relationship. That's where he stood with it. We weren't getting anywhere. Dinner ended really early. And he was like, oh, one check. I said, no, two. Like, I'll do two checks. Thank you. Like, you don't have to pay for my dinner.
Oh, that's because you're like, this is such a deal breaker that there's no sense in even.
But he was also like really obnoxious about it too. There's a difference between like being very civil about it and being a gentleman about your deal breakers and me being cordial with my deal breakers. But he was just obnoxious.
Wait, okay. Let's back that up a little bit, because like you said, I agree. Deal breakers, let's get those out of the way right now. I really like that. I don't know how I would feel on the other side of that conversation if you said no to. That's intense. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying I think it's super interesting. But how do you even bring that up? Do you sit down with a guy and say, okay, my name is Nini. I want to talk about how I'm not going to have sex with you unless we get married. And I want to talk, like, how does all that stuff?
It really was because, so I met him on Hinge and I did it to where I narrowed down like my deal breakers. So I did it to where
Hinge, because I definitely know what that is, because I'm hip and cool and I'm definitely aware. That is a
dating app.
Yep, that's what that is for sure, which I knew already. I'm glad you said that.
It's a dating app that's meant to be deleted or, as I say, re-downloaded when you are single.
Okay, so you met him on a dating app.
Yeah.
And then you were compatible. And how did you decide to go on a date?
Apparently Hinge said we were most compatible, which was great because we had a great conversation going. And then we ended up going to dinner together and it was more of like, Because when I narrowed down my deal breakers, it was religion and I put Catholic. That was a deal breaker.
Right.
So when they made their profile, they put they were Catholic. It kind of showed me all the profiles who mm-hmm. were Catholic men, which was great.
Yeah.
Until they weren't really Catholic as they said they were. For example, because he said he was Catholic.
So wait, how did you find that out? So once again, we just sat down. We're having dinner together. How do you breach the topic? How do you broach the topic of?
He actually brought up the topic of, okay, it's like, you know, not the norm, but let's go ahead and talk about the not norm conversations. I said, okay, I like this. This is bold.
Yeah.
And then we were on like same alignment for religion, politics, but then it went awry when it was the sex talk.
Okay, cool.
Because he was like,
I do mean cool. Like, that's good that you got that out of the way. Yeah.
It was great. And he was like, I believe in having sex before marriage. I said, okay. I'm like, but how far in? Like, that's cool. No judgment. But how far in?
I have
that?
A lot of judgment for the record, but okay, finish. Yeah.
No judgment with that. Like, I have no room to judge him at all because I don't want him to judge me for what I believe. And he said, like, before I even call you my girlfriend, I said, time out.
Right.
I'm like, why? He said, physical intimacy is really important to me. And he said, I have to, as word for word, I have to test drive you before I like get serious. I said, ew. I'm like, that's icky. Okay. That's icky.
Yeah, that's super icky.
Yeah, because I'm like, I'm not just like, I have feelings. I have like my beliefs, and he wasn't just respectful. I'm like, that's not what I believe in. Like, I believe in getting to know you on an emotional level first, because you know we're dating for like a marriage. And he was like, yeah, I agree. I'm like, so why is that such a deal breaker? And he said, if I'm gonna marry you and be with you the rest of my life, I have to be able to like know I'm gonna enjoy this. I'm like, ew.
Yeah, ew. Super gross. That's super gross.
Yeah.
So was that like the first? Like 10 minutes of sitting down?
That was like the first 30 minutes.
Okay.
And it was awkward because I was really hungry. Mm-hmm. And like, I love food.
Right.
And so the first like 10 minutes was like, how was your day? You know, mm-hmm. my day was great. What are your hobbies? Like, you know, how's your family doing? Because we were talking for, I think, about 2 weeks before we went on our first date.
Right.
Because I was super busy with work. He was busy with work. So our schedules allowed us to go on like a dinner date like 2 weeks later, mm-hmm. which was fine because we were still texting, we were FaceTiming in between. And so like 30 minutes into dinner, I was like, I want to go home. But I was like,
I really want to eat. Right.
So I kind of just went along with it. And then at the end of the day, it was like the check was like, I need two checks.
Yeah.
So
have you been like, tell me about the success with or lack of success with the dating app. So.
It's been a little... I've been on probably about, I went on a date with that one guy that didn't work out with the two checks. I actually went on another date with a guy and he was super sweet. We're actually really good friends after mm-hmm. like things didn't work out, like not because of like our beliefs didn't line up. He just had a lot going on personally and he wasn't sure. anywhere ready to be in a relationship. So we had the conversation to where, you know, where are you at? Where am I at when it comes to dating? And he was just not there, which is fine. So now we're good friends. And I'm actually talking to another guy.
Right.
Which has been really successful lately.
All right. And I don't want this to come across as negative at all. I'm genuinely curious about this. Like, it seems like you keep having these sort of things that come and fall apart, mm-hmm. right? What is the plan? Like, do you have a plan? Are you changing your game plan? What does that look like?
The game plan is still going to have those hard conversations mm-hmm. with the guy I'm talking to. And it's going to be, I am dating for a marriage. Mm-hmm. These are what I believe in. Mm-hmm. Like, do we align in this together? And if we do, like, we'll continue going on dates, kind of just feeling it out and seeing what happens.
Sure.
I think my game plan before was going on dates and kind of hoping that things would change if we don't align. Mm-hmm. And now it's just more of like, I stand by what I believe in and it's either we can get on board with the same thing or we can go ahead and go separate ways.
Yeah. I mean, I think I brought this up before, but just to share my opinion on the whole dating thing and all of that to mansplain to all the ladies out there. This is my hot take on guys in general. Ladies, don't date a guy who is just willing to sort of humor you in regards to morality, right? Who's mm-hmm. saying, no, I understand that's where you stand, right? I'm willing to respect that, right? Because if you have a guy who says, no, that's great, you want to wait until we're married to have sex, I respect that and I respect your decision. No, that's actually the wrong answer. That sounds like the right answer. Sounds like that guy's being polite. He's not. Here's what he's actually saying. What he's actually saying mm-hmm. is, I don't actually have that conviction. I don't agree with your morality on that. I am just going to hang out and wait in the wings until you have a moment of weakness. And then I'm going to go ahead and move in. And then we're going to fall down that road. Right. The right answer is yes. Actually, I totally agree. We are going to wait because sometimes, right. I know that the sort of the stereotype is the guys are the only ones who have any sort of like sexual inclinations or anything. That's obviously wrong, right? There's going to be, you need both couples on the same page or else that girl or that guy, whoever's, you know, the one who's really adamant from a moral standpoint, they're gonna have a moment of weakness. And that's when you need the other one to actually come in and have the backbone and say, no, we're gonna hold the line in regards to morality or sexuality or whatever it is. That's super interesting to me. I wanna dive in to sort of, once we get our AV issues solved, I wanna dive in a little bit from a standpoint of, once again, I am totally ignorant. I'm not feigning ignorance for the radio. What does the dating landscape look like right now? Like, what are you hearing? Not just you personally, but with friends and stuff like that. I've been, my 13th anniversary is coming up in about 3 weeks, right? And so I've been removed, and it does seem like everything has changed radically since then. You know, this was like iPhone one time. There was, I mean, obviously the internet existed, but it wasn't a thing. And it seems like the landscape is so radically different. What's it look like right now?
Honestly, I was talking to our old producer, Ben, about this before we aired and everything. And we both agree, like, dating now is just so much harder than it was before. Like, I think because I am older, I am dating for a marriage. I think when I was younger, I was dating just to date. And so, like, back then, I was like, I don't really care. Like, I'm kind of here for, like, for the attention. I'm here to like fill that void with something that like I didn't know I needed.
Yeah, we want attention. We want affection.
Yeah,
I want
that attention. I want to be loved, and I just want someone to like care for me. And that's what I wanted when I was younger. But I think now that I am older, it's just so much harder because you don't know if the people that we are trying to pursue are equally pursuing us back, and or just even like being genuine with their intentions when it comes to dating us. Like, I'm very open about what I want, and sometimes I feel like guys are very like, oh, I'm going to be open to let you know, to let you hear what you want to hear. But right. I really don't mean what I say in the back end.
Yeah. Do you overall, the whole dating app thing, and we're going to have a couple on here after the break, right? Who met and is married as a result of a dating app right now. They're currently battling the ladybugs over in the corner. do you think the dating app has been overall positive or negative? I will air my very obvious bias as the old fogey, right? It seems super weird to me. That being said, I've never experienced it. So
honestly, my parents are the same way. Like this is so bad to say, sorry, mom and dad. Every single time I do go on a date, I don't tell them where I met. If I go on a date with someone I met on the dating app, like on Hinge, I don't tell them that I met them on a dating app because for them it's weird. Like they're old school. They meet someone organically, but I think I am older. I am so busy. I don't really go well. Like, right. I literally go to work. I go home with my dogs and I watch TV. That's all I want to do. So it's hard for me personally to meet people outside of a dating app because I hate going out, honestly.
Right.
I love my bed. But I think it's been a really positive outcome. Like,
but you do. Like, don't you? You work in your parish and stuff like that, don't you?
I do sometimes. I actually, my home parish started doing, they opened up a Vietnamese community. So I am 100% Vietnamese. So I've been going to a Vietnamese mass more often and I love it. So it's kind of harder for me to meet Vietnamese people.
Right.
Just because like I am fluent in Vietnamese, but I'm not like 100% fluent. I can, when I hear them, I can like understand. It'll take me like a minute to process things and reply back. So it's a little bit harder to meet Vietnamese men. Also, Vietnamese men kind of give me the ick, unfortunately.
Okay.
So there's also that too.
Right.
But
we can delete that if you get engaged to one.
Okay, let's do that. I forget engagement. Let's delete the ick part. But I think it's been a positive outcome. Like, my cousin, who is getting married next month, met his fiance on Hinge.
Cool.
My best friend met her husband on Hinge. My other good friend met her fiance on Hinge. So I think that it works if two people really want to put the effort to make it work.
We talked about this a long time ago, I think, on that dating app episode. But is there a hierarchy sort of to the dating apps?
I think it's personal preference. I also think it's based on what you're looking for. So if people are looking for like that casual, low-key hookup culture that they want.
Gross, yeah.
Yes, it's going to be like Tinder. It'll be like their top hierarchy. But for people who want like a serious relationship and for a good long-term relationship, I think that for me personally, Hinge will be my number one. Bumble is another dating app, will be my number two. I'm not even talking about Tinder on the hierarchy list. It's going to be Hinge and
Why is it? What is it that makes the Hinges and the Bumbles of the world better than whatever the other ones are?
So I think for Hinge, it's because you can go ahead and put down your deal breakers of what you're wanting to find a partner. And Hinge is going to go ahead and filter out those people that don't have that as like as their deal breaker or don't have that as an option. So if I want someone who's Catholic, Hinge isn't going to give me someone who's not Catholic. I like Bumble because I'm a very bold person, and Bumble's where like the women make their first move. I like that sometimes, but I've been into Hinge since I've been single,
right,
which is fun.
Cool. I'm curious. Once again, I'm totally ignorant of all of these. So as a man, right, my perspective, and this is a super cynical, jaded perspective, but here we go, is that I feel like 90% of everybody kind of sucks. And I feel like I'm talking about sort of people who are young people trying to get married, trying to form relationships. At least from my perspective, I tend to blame my own people. I tend to blame the guys, right? And saying that the sort of the standard has sunk so low in regards to, I don't know, what are your thoughts on that? Just sort of
it's so hard because it's hard because I actually had a conversation with my cousin about this like the other day. And it's so sad to believe that like women's standard now when it comes to dating is just if a guy tells me, like, for example, the guy I'm talking to now is like, hey, I have a really busy day at work, I will call you after work. It's like that little communication that like women deserve in general. That's like the bare minimum is that we're not getting that. So when I got like the guy I'm talking to was like, I'll call you after work, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so sweet. I'm like, that shouldn't be something that's so sweet.
The bar is so low.
Exactly. So me and him were talking about this, like, I think last night. And it was more of like, I said, I want the kind of love that like, it's like the honeymoon stage is 24/7. Like it never goes away. I always want to be pursued. I want us to pursue each other all the time. Like that should be kind of standard that women see and want all the time. It shouldn't be set so low. And we both agree that like that's a standard regardless of where you're at a relationship. Like if you're married for like 2,500 years or whatever, you should always be pursuing each other, not just when you're first talking or dating each other.
Now I will say, and I don't think you're saying this, I just want to say this out loud for the radio. Obviously, talking about the honeymoon stage, we're talking about that solely as a feeling, right? Just so everybody's on board. That will come and go. I've been married for, I don't know, almost 13 years. I love my wife unconditionally. I would die for my wife in a heartbeat. I'm a huge, don't always like her. We don't get along sometimes. We fight sometimes, right? I don't always feel like I did when I was 20 years old and pulled a ring out of my back pocket and proposed to her, right? I don't always feel like I did in our first year of marriage before we had kids and all of these things. But in terms of that understanding, right, that understanding that love is a movement of the will and love is not a feeling. Once again, I know you weren't saying that. I want to clarify, right? There are certain standards by which, right, men owe women and women owe men, right? Our femininity and masculinity are complementary to one another. And that's really...
It's sad. Yeah. It's so sad because I feel like when
it's great news for the guys.
It is. I feel like when I was younger, like I had this great relationship and it was great until it wasn't great. And it was because like that need to pursue one another, it fizzled out, and it shouldn't be fizzled out. I think that if you're going to be with someone, you should always want to pursue them. Like our relationship it's never 50-50. Sometimes it is going to be 50-50. Sometimes it'll be like 60-40, 70-30 and stuff like that. Right. It depends on what your partner needs. And I feel like people don't understand that, and it's sad.
Some of the best advice I got from a guy who was, I don't know, marriage mentor is the right word, but you know, when you're, especially when you're a newly married couple, you usually become friends with a lot of people, the people who've been married longer, right? You're like, okay, I want what you have. How do I do that? Those kind of conversations. And one of the biggest pieces of advice that I got was don't keep score, right? That thing that we do. That's why you were saying sometimes 70-30, sometimes it's 60-40, sometimes it's 50-50, whatever. And not keeping, that is so difficult. to do, right? Because that's something that we'll struggle with at my house sometimes, where I come home from work and I think, well, I've been at work all day and I worked really hard today and had a big meeting today. And then I got home and man, I even did the dishes, right? I've done all this stuff. I deserve, I'm owed X, Y, and Z. And I think that comes from a misunderstanding of marriage, right? Where it's not so much about what I am owed, right? Marriage and being sacramentally bound to somebody involves definitionally a death to yourself, mm-hmm. right? For the sake of the other. That's what it's all about, especially as the man, right? We wear a black suit on our wedding to symbolize death, right?
Yep.
the white dress symbolizes purity. The black suit symbolizes death, right? Death to yourself for the sake of the other. And I think that is so important. I do think it's good to hear for some of the guys out there that the bar is so low.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not positive for like civilization, but it's probably good for some individuals out there.
Yeah.
One thing that I say to guys a lot, which I don't know, might not be true, but I feel like it is. I'm harder on us. There are so many more awesome Catholic girls trying to live out their faith than there are Catholic guys.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it seems to me that right now, gentlemen, if you are interested in getting married, once again, like Nini said, bar's really low. Be a good human being who takes your faith seriously, tries to be virtuous. Don't become hopelessly addicted to pornography. Well, don't be addicted to pornography at all. Try to be a good person who has at least some degree of chivalry, and you got a real good shot at girls way out of your league. So
chivalry
nice.
Is not dead. Women believe that it's dead, but mm-hmm. I have seen firsthand chivalry is not dead. It needs to be like revived. That's all it is.
We got about 2 minutes left. Why do you say it's not dead?
I don't think it's dead because the guy that I'm talking to currently is pursuing me, and he is chivalrous in more ways than one, to where it's like the reassurance, the understanding. And chivalry is just more than opening the door for the girl or doing little things, holding a door, opening a door, whatever.
Does he follow the sidewalk rule though?
It is following a sidewalk rule. We've already talked about this.
We talked about this on the show?
Yes, we did.
Did I tell you about the homeless guy who called
me
out?
Did.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
great.
Yep.
Had a homeless guy tell me that I was walking on the wrong side of my wife in downtown Atlanta one time.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have, that was the last time that happened. I now always stay on the right side of my wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
that's awesome.
It's not dead. It's like, I think very little things that you'd be surprised that women want is going to be just being genuine and mm-hmm. being genuine with your intentions and just being open and honest about where you're at. It's going to be honestly the basic chivalry 101.
Right.
In my opinion, but
no, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, all right. In the last 45 seconds or so before break, any last minute thoughts, anything you want to say to the young, let's say anything you want to say to the men out there?
Do better. I'm just kidding. No, I think it's just being genuine. I think it's going to be the best thing is be genuine and be open with where you're at with everything.
That's awesome. Nina.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming in. I know you got some Korean barbecue to eat here in a minute. I'm excited. I'm excited for you. Please tell your parents, tell your brother that we here at Honest to God on AM 1160 The Quest say hello.
I will.
We will be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after a really short break. Nini, we won't see you second half, but we'll miss you. We'll think about you. Ladies and gentlemen.
Thinking about y'all.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen at home, mm-hmm. thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been Honest to God, a production of AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We're on part two now. You'll notice that Nini is no longer Nini. Nini is now Gianna and Jeremy. Welcome, guys. Super happy to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
It's going to be a great day. We're going to keep digging into the dating stuff. I think you've had a little more success than Nini has, and you're engaged now. So I want to dive in all those things. But first, can you tell us a little bit about yourselves? Three fun facts apiece. Probably starting, should we do ladies first? Do you think?
Yeah, ladies first.
Yeah, all right, Gianna.
Nice. I am the oldest of four.
Awesome.
I eat the skins of kiwis.
That's weird.
And I get a lot of backlash for that.
That's uncomfortable.
But you should try it.
Should I? Why? Yeah. Why? No, never mind. That's what we're doing this show about. Well, let's get into this.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Because the texture is so soft without it. And then when you try it with it, it gives it a whole nother elevation.
I solemnly swear I will do that one time. I
really?
Will try it. Yeah.
He's done it and he now is not, he doesn't hate it, I don't think.
I hate to say I don't hate it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, bad. That's it. I just had this like guttural aversion to it. I don't know why.
It's the hair.
Yeah.
It's hair.
Yeah, I feel like
you got to try it once.
It would be like eating a hamburger from McDonald's without taking the wrapper off.
It's a lot
it
like
just
that.
Seems, yeah.
No.
Okay, cool. That's a super interesting one, actually. That's That's right up there with a girl who has only ever worn socks inside out. She said, I will not wear socks the right way. She only wears them inside out. Something about the little line there. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So super weird, but yeah. I'm here for it. All right.
Okay. And cool. It gets weirder. On my first communion, I said, in response to the body of Christ, I said, the body of Christ.
That's just
up. Just making sure that he knows.
Were you 7?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You were a little kid. You're not like a convert.
No.
That would be like a nervous thing I would do if I were converting right now.
Yeah.
The body of Christ. The body of Christ.
Right.
And then I would like forget to open my mouth or something. And it would be this awkward thing. Okay, cool. I like that. Those are good. Those were solid. Solid 3 fun facts. What you got, Jeremy?
My first 2 are golf related. I'm technically a professional golfer. They let you just sign up. So it's not any.
Neat.
Yeah.
I learned the other day that you can be a Pulitzer Prize nominee just by sending $75 and your name.
It's a lot like that.
And I would like to do that just so I can tell people forever that I'm a Pulitzer Prize nominee. All right. Sorry.
Second one is like, I'm an assistant golf coach at Blessed Trinity in Roswell.
Okay, way. Yeah. Go Titans.
That's right, that's right.
Did you know Brian Marks over there?
A little bit, yep. I graduated from there in 2017, so we were there at the same time.
Okay, cool.
And then I guess the last one is I lived on a ship for 3.5 months when I was 14.
Doing what?
Just my dad wanted to travel, so we traveled.
All over?
Yeah, through Asia and Africa.
No way.
Mainly.
Was it a sailboat or was it like...
No, it was like a small cruise liner is probably the best way to describe it. It was...
Just you and your dad?
No, it was my whole family. So it was my mom, my dad, my brother, and me. And just... There was a bunch of people on it, but it was, you know, pretty weird little tidbit. I don't know. I always go to that when I ask for fun facts.
No, that's super neat. Yeah. I like that a lot. I have I've not cruised through there. I've spent some... Well, I guess if the Middle East counts as Asia, which technically does. Yeah, I've spent some time roaming around Asia and Southern Africa. Yeah, it's cool. It's a good part of the world. Awesome. Let's talk a little bit about dating. That's the topic of today's episode is Dating 101. We're getting into some of that. And I would love to start with, we know who you are a little bit. How'd you meet? Why are you here? I feel like our viewers don't often believe me, right? Our listeners don't often believe me with this. I know nothing about you. I've never seen your faces before in my life until about, you know, an hour ago or something. We were prepping for you guys to come over. I knew your names when we turned on the mics and nothing else. So how did you guys meet? What's your story? Super interested in that.
You want to go?
Yeah. Well, we met on Hinge.
You met on Hinge?
Yeah, we did meet on Hinge. Yeah. Secrets out, I guess. I don't know. What else you want to know?
No, just okay. So you met on Hinge. That's the dating app, right? We talked about that in the first half. Did you, how old were you? Why were you on the dating apps to begin with? I'm just super interested. Like I said, you were in the studio earlier. I'm so out of it in regards to how dating even works now. I said this, like if my wife died tomorrow, right? Which would be the biggest tragedy ever, obviously. I'm pretty sure I would just like raise my kids and then go join a monastery, like, because I don't even know what you do anymore. So yeah, what was the decision for Hinge? How did that work?
So I think Nini did a pretty good job of laying out the dating landscape. I think, at least, I don't know. I would agree with your premise that men need to get a little bit better generally.
We were both looking to date a Catholic person, and I guess we both had. I mean, I was dating outside of the app. You were dating in the app. And then I came on, and the filtering system, as Nini mentioned, was perfect for us because you can filter out Catholic versus non-Catholic. You had some successful dates before I did.
Yeah, I've dated 2 people from Hinge. I dated one for 6 months, and then her. Now we're engaged. So nice. I can't believe I'm here as an apologist for Hinge. I did not think this is where life would take me, but I guess I have to do that. I think it's a really good app, especially for Catholics, because of the filter feature. You mentioned with Nini that, you know, there's a lot of low quality people generally.
Right.
And I think the apps help you filter that out and save a lot of time. We were talking about it earlier, and I think it's easy, especially in relationships, to fall into the sunk cost fallacy, where if you don't have the hard conversations you were talking about early on, and you know, you wait weeks or months or hopefully not, but a year or so, and you get in and you're like, oh, okay, we don't agree. We're not compatible on the stuff that really matters to me. Like, what do you do?
Right.
You think you're going to change the person? Do you think you're going to compromise? So you're better off. We had them immediately. Did we wait to the first date? Or we did a phone call before our first date.
Just to make sure, like, neither of you were going to wake up in a bathtub basically your kidney or something?
Basically.
Even before the phone call, we knew each other were Catholic. And then he said, I mean, before we waste each other's time, how Catholic? And
nice.
So it was perfect. It was such a score.
Like, what do you mean, like, you every now and then wandering to the church.
You have to ask. And her response was great. It was something like, I try to abide by the teachings of the church, and if I don't, I'm in confession. I was like, that's
cool.
Yeah, it was a great response.
So were you guys both, you were both pretty serious about your faith, obviously, before you, were you in, I assume this was after college, right? You said your class of 2017?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. And so had you tried just sort of, I don't know, quote unquote, traditional dating where you meet real humans in real life and it just hadn't worked out? Or what was the landscape like?
Yeah, I mean, I just the normal scene, you meet people out, you meet your friends. No quality men are just, I mean, God can work in mysterious ways, but out on the streets in the wild, I don't think I'm going to find the guy that I'm really looking for.
Right. Well, that's another thing. I don't even know where you find someone ever. I mean, I was lucky enough. I met my wife in college, right?
Yeah.
We met at this little bitty Catholic college. And so it was kind of just by virtue of us being there, there was enough of a filter to be like, okay, you clearly take this seriously enough to come here instead of somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting next to you in theology class and I see you at Mass on a Tuesday. So, like, I already know you're kind of bought in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know how you do it.
No, I don't know either. If I went to a Catholic high school, and so I did meet a lot of people there. It was small. I went to Regina Chaley. And if you're not in a Catholic college, I don't know how people are meeting.
Right.
So that's why I'm kind of a proponent of Hinge or online dating.
An advocate,
yeah. It's similar to Nini. Hinge is, I think, superior to Bumble and Tinder, but yeah, I encourage people to get on it. I never in a million years thought it would work out. In fact, I am still a little embarrassed sometimes to say Hinge because it comes with this baggage of hookup culture.
Right.
And it's not that way if you're serious about it.
If I'm being honest, that's what I think when I think of all the dating apps. It's probably just out of ignorance on my part, right? I know of Tinder through sort of the social
zeitgeist. Well, they're promoted that way.
Right? Yeah. And it's, hey, do you want to find somebody to have sex with? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Here's Tinder. Right? And so my immediate response is just, okay, that's gross and disordered. Clearly nobody should be using those. But that's interesting that that Hinge does not take that approach, or you can take that approach.
The filtering, it really helps. And then, yeah, Bumble, I don't like because I think it makes the guys lazy. The girls do all the work, which it can vet. I mean, it's nice that the girls can vet the guys first, but you're still making all the first moves. So I don't like that.
I think it's inherently disordered for the girl to make the first move.
So
like, I think by virtue of your masculinity, you should be required to make the first move.
I agree.
Because the whole idea is, hey, Gianna, you're worth me putting myself out there with the potential to be totally shot down. That is an act of fortitude, right? It's an act of bravery, and you have to overcome all of that. And I don't think that should ever be on the girl.
Agreed.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, I agree with that. What was I going to say about the dating apps? Oh, yeah, I view dating apps just like any other, well, not any other technology, but most of other technologies where it's generally amoral and it's what you make of it. I think there's plenty of debauched and terrible things that happen on dating apps. And I think there's, as we're starting to see more and more, I think you mentioned a handful or Nini mentioned a handful in the last section. There's more and more people finding each other on them. And I don't think it's, I think it's weird. I mean, it is weird. Like, it's a weird new thing, but I don't know that it's wrong because it's weird.
Yeah, I've heard really bad things about Catholic Virtual. I've heard that it used to be great, and then it just sort of fell apart and became a spammy, bug-ridden.
I think I was on there for like 5 minutes. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, I know. I hate that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it sounded good.
What I liked about that in particular, I had a buddy who did it back in the day, because it's been around for a very long time, so I was in college, and it listed like 7 teachings of the church, and you had to say whether or not you agreed or disagreed with them. So you'd be on a Catholic app, but it would start with pretty basic stuff like, true presence of the Eucharist. Do you believe in the true presence of the Eucharist? Yes or no? And then it would get all the way down to sort of nitty gritty. So I think the last question was like talking about birth control or something. So it was like, how bought in are you? And then everybody would get a ranking, a number out of 7, right? So you agreed to all 7 of them, right? Or 6 out of 7 or whatever. And there was a bit of a filter there. But I don't know. I think that super awkward conversation is worth having usually. Okay, so tell me about your first date. You talk on the phone, you establish Jeremy's not a serial killer, you establish that she's not some proxy for some Albanian organ harvesters.
That's right. Yeah.
And you actually meet up.
First date, yeah, I picked her up, which I was surprised she let me do.
I never do. I just really trusted him.
Because of the maybe serial killer thing? That's why you don't want people to pick you up?
No, from our conversations, I was sure that he was the one. I don't even believe in the one, but I just was very, very sure about him. And so all I needed to see was his face, and then I knew.
Were your conversations in person? On the phone or in text?
On the phone.
Good. Like really having conversations?
Well, both. We texted for what? Like 3 days, and then we had some big we had like a three-hour-long phone call on a Tuesday, met up on a Friday. I picked her up. Well, she sent me her address, and she's like, what did you say? Something about your dad. So I sent her mine. I was like, you can...
Yeah. You can track I'll just, me down. Yeah.
So yeah, we went, picked her up, went to dinner at the Battery, had dinner at Suprica, and then went and got a couple beers. I have to remember this or I'm in trouble.
Right. No, that's really good.
I think it was from 6:30 to 10 or 10:30. It was a good long first date.
But we could talk about all of the deep things because we already knew we were on the same page.
That's what I was getting into. Yes. So did you?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Almost immediately. Yeah.
What are all the things? You'd already established sort of on the phone, you know, what you said. I love that line, by the way, about how Catholic are you? And then your response is, well, I follow the teachings of the church. If I don't, I'll go to confession. Like, okay, cool. That's it. So you entered with that understanding, right? That's where we're starting. What do those conversations sound like?
I mean, there's some like gray area conversations. I mean, we don't need to get into it, but... Drugs. There's some drugs, weed maybe in particular. And
well, let's clarify. You've never smoked weed.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not. Yeah,
I was going to clarify that. Yeah. Are you saying that while we were smoking, we were hotboxing my car while discussing?
Yeah. No, there's just people have different opinions on it within, you know, the Catholic world.
Sure.
And so we're going back and forth, but it's nice.
Within
to
like
have...
10 minutes of the first date.
We're having this. Right off the bat.
That's a really good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was fun. Nobody cried. I didn't cry. It wasn't.
That's good.
No name calling. It was, it's just a good, like honest discussion right there.
Did you talk about like, hey, I'm looking for somebody to marry?
Yeah, those kind of conversations? Yeah, before the first date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. That's
so this is what I mean. I think if you use the dating apps to filter and then you just are immediately upfront with what you want, what you're looking for, who you are, then I don't think it's still weird. I'm happy to say it. It's weird, but I think it's weird because it's new.
Right.
Yeah.
I also think though that once again, my knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, that's awful. Mm-hmm. Right. But it seems like given our culture and society, which has got a lot of issues to begin with, but
that was my next point.
Yeah. You can no longer just account for the small village you live in, and you're going to meet somebody in your parish community. You're going to meet somebody at this. I mean, one thing I've talked about on air before with meeting people in real life, right, is go do the things that you would want your spouse to be doing, right? So go on that mission trip to Jamaica or go volunteer to do whatever with the church young adult group, 20, 30 somethings, whatever it is. Go do all those things, and then maybe you run into them. But I hear it. I hear when all of a sudden it used to be my options for marriage are these two dozen people who are the opposite sex and live in my town, and I never leave this town really, so that's it. And my mom and dad know all of their parents, and we're going to figure something out. And now it's, well, there's 8 billion people in the world, and I can talk to about, I don't know, 3 billion of them right now if I wanted to. Those are my options. It's a really different
sorting. And I think I mean, it's politically here we're pretty polarized and we don't need to get into all that, but I think it becomes very clear that you're on one side or the other and you're not going to get along well enough to get married with likely not going to get along well enough with anybody on the other side. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I'm sorry. Because what I thought you were saying was that you and Gianna were politically polarized.
We very much agree. But I think in today's polarized world, the filtering of the apps helps because it just removes... You're not wasting a lot of time if you don't think.
Well, and as Catholics who take their faith seriously, right? You're in actuality pretty openly mocked by a lot of the quote unquote pop culture, right? To the point where it seems like you're the only people in the entire world. I mean, that's how I felt and that's how my wife and I felt for a long time together is there's just us. There's nobody else. We're going to be the weirdos and our kids are going to have to be strictly homeschooled and we're going to just have to do this weird, like sort of Amish circling the wagon thing. Right. And eventually, right, we found a really great community and now we live in a really great community and our lives are really involved. All of our friends are pretty solid, but this climate that is not just politically polarizing, it's also sort of, it's isolating if you don't go along with the sort of common cultural narrative that's pretty relativistic, modernistic, and disgusting.
I think we can get discouraged a lot as Catholics that we're in such a secular and kind of polarizing world that we don't put ourselves out there, or we think we just have to, you know, find someone in church, and which is great. I mean, that's an easy path forward. But I didn't want to get on the app. I didn't want to put myself out there, but lucky for me, I did. And I think a lot of people need to kind of get over that hump in their head that dating apps are kind of not for me, or I'm kind of above that, or I'm never going to find a Catholic person there, because you can filter it, and you just have to persist through.
So how long did you guys date before you got engaged?
5 months.
5 months.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I'm nice all about
Catholic
it.
Catholic number.
I'm all about it. And then time. When? How long have you been engaged? Or how long will you be engaged when you get married?
11 months.
Well, no, we'll be engaged 8, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll be engaged longer than we dated.
Okay,
yeah.
Wait. So I can do math. So that's 13 months that you've physically been in a room with one another?
No, it'll be 6 then. Yeah, because we met June 30th of last year. We're getting married June 1st of this year.
Stop it.
So it'll be like almost exactly 11 months.
That is so cool. That is...
It kind of just worked out that way, too. It wasn't even on purpose. We just were looking for dates, and it worked.
No, I think that's beautiful. And I'm such a big, like... I'm constantly sort of attacking this narrative that you're... No, you should just date for a long time. Just date for a long... That's so disordered, right?
Oh, I
mean, all long-time dating does is... put you in an increasing like degree of the near occasion of sin, mm-hmm. right? Because we are created, right? Not just physical chastity, but emotional chastity, right? We want that connection with another human being, right? We want to bond to these other people. And there's a certain way, I'm not just talking about sex. I'm talking about it from an emotional level too, where I want to give myself to this other person in a way that I cannot do it without grave mortal sin outside of marriage. And so why the heck these people who get engaged and they're engaged for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, it's ridiculous. It's nonsense.
I most of my friends are not, well, my close friends are in the same kind of my headspace, but the average person on the street just thinks about dating and marriage and engagement for so long. People like that I've told were getting married in under a year from knowing each other are just appalled.
Right.
But no, I'm like, if you know, you know. And we also have our teachings, you know, the church to, I want to be with him, and, you know, and so why not?
Well, this
wait?
Idea of continuing to build these separate lives that you're then going to push together, right? Why do that?
Right.
That's what you want.
I think it's actually harder to do that. Now you have two separate lives you're trying to weave together. Whereas if you just get married, you're building together, and it's yours from the beginning. It's not, oh, this was mine. Now it's both of ours. It's, you avoid all of that stress and weirdness.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I talk like I know, but I've heard.
Great, man. Are you and parents and everybody on board? You got supportive?
Oh, yeah, very supportive. It's wonderful.
Praise God. So, Jeremy, mm-hmm. sorry, just weird question coming from sort of a diocesan school. I'm not going to, I feel pretty confident in Regina Chaley over there.
Yeah.
Have you always been super solid in your faith?
No, not at all. So, went to Queen of Angels Elementary, middle school, Blessed Trinity for high school. I think BT is a great school. I think the religion program, the theology program needs a little...
I've heard fantastic things about the theology program in particular.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. I think, I don't know, I did the whole go away in college thing. And glad to be back, came back maybe two and a half years ago now. The way I explain it, in so many words, is I'm stubborn, and I don't know that it would have worked another way. And I think God chose the way that He did because He knows it's the way that would get me. I'm stubborn. I need to learn from my own mistakes, and that holds true across my life. So, seeing it in my faith made it make a little bit more sense. Where I finally came back, I was like, okay, it was not good that I left. It was not good to be gone. But now I know it's true, and now it's my own faith. Whereas before, you know, I think what happens in the big diocesan schools, and I have nothing but good things to say about them, but I think what happens sometimes is it becomes a sort of cultural faith where it's not like, sometimes it's not taken seriously, but there's nothing that ever, you don't see anything else.
I think it's taken for granted.
Yeah, I think that'd be the way to say it. Yeah, it's taken for granted because you don't see anything else, so you don't know what it's like to not have it. And so when you go off to college after going 12 years of diocesan schools where you see it every day, you get to college like, oh, I don't have to go to mass. I guess I won't. Like there's nobody, like we would go, I mean, I went twice a week from kindergarten to eighth grade. We went Fridays and Sundays, and then BT is a little bit less often, but still went often with the school. And I did not hold on to my faith, but I've got it back. And
It sounds like you'd already had that conversion before.
Oh, yeah, well prior. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys didn't know it. Are you from Atlanta?
More or less, yeah.
Did you go to the RCA in Roswell?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Were you 2017 too?
2019 I graduated.
Okay, cool.
18, yeah.
Okay, yeah, this is really neat, guys. So what is the plan, the post-marriage plan?
Married in June of this year we're going to. And then, he's finishing up law school and we'll... finish that out, and then build a big family, like the homestead and big plans, but I'm so excited. It's what I've always wanted all my life, to be a mom and to get married. So
okay, and this shouldn't be like a revelation, because I honestly believe that in the heart of hearts of every man and every woman, right, is exactly what you're talking about. I remember being 15 years old and living a life that was as just about as debaucherous as you can live at 15 years old, right? And I won't get into it, but 100%, lots of bad decisions, just sort of giving myself over to sin in many different ways. And one day after making some really bad decisions, I remember thinking, you know, I just want to be a dad, right? I just want to be a father, and I want to go to work so that I can come home and be with my wife and my kids. And I want to take care of this family, right? That's ultimately what I want. And I'm doing all of these things. And it was this sort of very brief, fleeting, like, this isn't really what I want. What I want is so much more than this. And then I proceeded to pile a bunch of crap on top of it for the next 5 years or so, right? And just pretend like that wasn't true. But I always knew that it was, right? Yeah. I think deep down in my heart of hearts, even if I was, you know, drunk as a skunk and, you know, waking up super hungover after doing whatever with whoever, right, I would still have this like emptiness and realization that I'm not actually filling this hole. There's something more there. And it seems like something really little, but you just saying, I'm just really excited about being a mom and having a family. Like, yeah, because that's what you're supposed to be. That's all that you're supposed to, that's what you're made for. And that's what you're made for, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is. Yeah. It's very simple. The world is so fast paced and loud, and people are constantly, you know, social media, and just we don't have any silence in our hearts to really think about like what our goals are in life, why we're here, all of this. And when I'm thankful to have a little bit of that from high school and being taught to slow down and think about what's important, where you're going in life, where you're going after life. And yeah, it's I want to be a mom.
I forget who the guy who said it originally was, but I start paraphrasing all the time. I'll give some talks at colleges and high schools and young men's whatevers and pretty regularly. And this is stolen, so it's not my idea. I just don't remember who came up with it. But the best piece of advice that I have for anybody is don't take your academics as seriously as you feel like you have to. Get married too young and have way more kids than you can afford. Like, and you will be happy, right? Don't put your self-worth in things that don't matter, right?
Yeah.
Do that thing that you actually have wanted to do since you were 5 years old,
yeah,
right? And just go and do that, because that's what we're called to. And I feel like our culture and everything, like I was saying with myself earlier, piles all this stuff, all these fake things that don't matter, on top of this very real desire that is, I just want to be a mom. I just want to be a dad. I just want to struggle towards salvation and have a family and just be in this place that everyone on the planet agreed with that until 60 years ago. Mm-hmm. I feel like we were all on board.
Oh, yeah.
And then we decided to just throw it all out. And now we're wondering why everybody's so miserable and depressed.
Yeah. No, when people ask, like, so how many kids are you going to have? And I'm like, oh, as many as God gives me. It's like, how many kids are you going to have? Like, it's very not what the world is telling you right now. So
I always say all of them.
Yeah.
all of them.
That's the answer. That's good.
We have a lot of some family that, I mean, my parents have been great. I'm not talking about my parents. They've been wonderful. I don't think they've ever really like got it, but they've been super supportive and like, that's great, y'all, rock and roll. But we've got family. We've got not really that many old friends anymore who are still around, but who just have no idea. Like, why would you do that? Why would you get married? We got married. I was 21 when I got married, 21 when I had my first kid. Right. And it was this very, it's like this countercultural life that has been the most fulfilling, wonderful thing that I wouldn't trade for the world. And I love it. And it's not perfect and it's messy and sometimes it's not fun. I think I said, I don't know if it was with Nini, it might've been on an earlier show. There are times when I don't really like my children. There's times when me and my wife don't like each other when we'll fight, but I love them to death. And I would do anything. Like, I don't understand how I could possibly be in a better position in life. And it's not because I'm doing something magical, because I'm doing something that everyone else knew and had figured out and was doing until very recently. And we decided to throw it all away because we're dumb and sinful. And yeah,
that's beautiful. It's very encouraging to hear other people who've gone through this.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Well, and to the point about it being countercultural, I think that's, I'm seeing a lot more of that. Maybe it's the algorithms feeding me what I want to see.
Right.
But it seems like it's cool to do this now. Like,
right,
you know, the old thing is coming back again and now it's cool. So it's encouraging to see.
Well, I think when we as a society just sort of turn on our own nature, right, there's going to be some kickback. There's going to be, I think we're going to see a big pendulum swing in the other direction, because I think everyone agrees that what we're doing right now is broken, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, right? Be it dating, be it culture in general, child rearing, whatever we're trying to do to find happiness and joy, it's not working as a society, right? Mm-hmm. We're falling apart. And there's this longing for something. And the frustrating thing is that it's right there. And I think people, yeah, like you said, I think they're finally starting to wake up and say, no, I want that.
Yeah.
So I'm super happy for you guys. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
We're almost out of time. Do you have any last minute anything? Here's the last one of you, at least. Last minute advice for somebody who is early 20s, wants exactly what you have. Any pieces of advice, parting thoughts?
I would say put yourself out there. I got on the app as a joke with my friend to go on double dates with her, and it was a complete joke. And lo and behold, I found my fiance who's everything I want. So
put yourself
out there.
All right. That's awesome.
I would say be as open as you can up front. Save yourself a lot of time and headache. If you don't want to find out the things you don't want to hear later, you might as well hear them now.
Awesome, guys. Well, this has been a blast. Thank you, Gianna. Yeah. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Really
thank you
appreciate
much.
Y'all being on. It has been a blast. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been Honest to God, a production of AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Producer Julian?
Over now.
Signing off. We got to redo that one. But we got time.
It's already right there. It's already right there.
Well, I got to get my pen back. I can't have the pen. The people want the pen from.
The beer. That's me up.
The beer? Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for being here. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been Honest to God, a production of AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Producer Julian?
Signing off.
Over and out.